Yeah, away we go on the Wednesday edition, Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Group of Love. This is One Call, That's All Studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Josh DiMaggio will join us in a moment. Will Summers, Hunter Vaughn here as well, running the show for us as always. It's Bears week, so finally want to dive into Da Bears and everything coming up on Saturday night at Soldier Field, as this is a big one, obviously. The Packers, I guess, technically, what, a half game back of the Bears at 9-4-1. Bears are 10-4. The winner again for the second time in 3 weeks of this matchup will walk out in first place and sole possession of first place in the NFC North, which is exciting. That's a good thing. But Packers obviously are shorthanded, they're going to have to figure it out defensively. So kind of want to talk about, is it survival mode or Super Bowl mode at some point with Joshy? And can we flip it at any point? Can anything happen in the next 3 weeks for you to get back to kind of the Super Bowl mindset? We will get into that a bit later. But I do just want to start with the defense overall for Green Bay, because I think now that we've had the ability to sleep on it for several days, I think we have our calm opinion now. Right, Sunday night into Monday was more of the reactionary, oh my God, it's over for the Packers because Micah Parsons tore his ACL Sunday in Denver. Now it's ultimately, okay, how does Jeff Hafley scheme up a defense that is at least good enough to keep you in games that you then have your offense and your quarterback and Jordan Love go out and win? Because that's the recipe now. The recipe is no longer defensive first. It just can't be. I still hold true to that opinion after sleeping on it a few more days. The recipe can no longer be your defense keeps you in games. It's not defense first. It's not defense wins championships. That can't be the identity of this team now entering the remainder of the regular season and ultimately the postseason. It's now, can the defense hold the opposing offense to just not enough where the Packers offense can do just enough? That's how you win games from this point forward. Which is unfortunate, but it's where you're at without Micah Parsons. So what do you need to see from this defense? Who needs to step up? What can the identity be? What's the number that they need to hold defenses to? That's kind of where my head's at a couple days out from Packers-Bears. We welcome in now Josh DiMaggio, who joins us in the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Joshy, where is your head at on the Packers defense now? Because I don't think the identity anymore can be defense first, defense wins you games. It now has to be, they just have to do just enough, right? I mean, that's kind of where I assume you're at as well, a couple days removed from the Parsons injury.
I think as it pertains to the Chicago Bears game and the remainder of the season, I think the Packers are capable of winning 2 of 3, even 3.
I think they'll win out. I do think they're going to win out.
We all knew you would be there.
Well, it's not like their schedule's terribly difficult, though. Let's say this happened in the Chicago game prior to Denver. I don't think I'm picking them to go to Denver and win, which they really should have done prior to all those injuries.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is going to be worse. They're going to have less of a pass rush. Teams are going to change how they attack the Packers defense. It's going to be a chess match, and Jeff Hafley is going to have to be extremely creative to try and create the pressure and not leave his cornerbacks on an island, who I think we all, despite me thinking more highly than almost everyone of those three main guys they have playing corner.
It was a rough week.
It's going to be even harder now without a guy like Micah Parsons. Yeah. And I think they're the ones that are going to be probably challenged the most, aside from actually Rashawn Gary. But he's a 50-50 player, so what does that even really matter to us in the whole thing?
Well, I don't know if you've had the opportunity to hear this yet, Joshy.
I've heard it. Awful. Makes me mad.
Well, we're going to listen to it one more time, because it kind of makes me mad as well, but also, like, at least somebody's doing it. This is Rashawn Gary yesterday with reporters talking about what he did after the Packers lost both Micah Parsons and the game to the Denver Broncos on Sunday. Take a listen from yesterday.
Just understanding, you know, we had a tough loss, but understanding we still got everything in front of us. And, you know, the guys that I pull aside, you know, it's going to be a big reason why where we're going to end up being in the end of the season. So everybody got to keep their head. Everybody got to stay focused and make sure that we're doing our 111.
So something I never knew was Rashawn Gary, very fast talker. So you may have missed it there. He talks rather fast.
No, he doesn't want to be doing that, if that's why.
What do you mean?
He doesn't want to be talking.
Well, yeah.
Because he knows he's going to be asked questions about his lack of performance, and he's just going to say...
But hold on. Slow down.
He's just going to say...
Slow down.
I did fine. It's 1-11.
Slow down. What you may have missed there.
Before. What do you mean you may have missed? We all listened. Are we not listening?
I pointed out he talks fast because we only listened to it once, Josh. That's why I'm explaining what he said, if you, in case you missed it, which was the guys I pulled aside was the phrase he used there. So effectively what Rashawn Gary told reporters yesterday was he held a players only defensive line meeting of sorts after the loss to the Broncos. Josh, I want to hear why you hate this, because I don't, despite his lack of performance. It is a good sign that there is a leader in that room saying, hey, I understand we lost Micah Parsons, but we still have a lot in front of us. We can't look at the past and look at the injury and go, woe is me. We have to go out and play and try to win and try to cause some disruption against Chicago, against Baltimore, against Minnesota as we wrap up the regular season. I don't think it's a bad thing that a player is being a leader. That's why I don't hate it. I don't know if I love who the messenger is, but I don't know who else it would be in this scenario. Rashawn Gary is the most tenured, and unfortunately he is the best player remaining on the defensive line.
Are we sure about that?
I mean, no, but no.
I have less to do with the media, whatever. We've all been there, those of us who played youth sports or sports at really any level where leadership is like part of the deal. There's always the guy who isn't doing jack squat that thinks he needs to talk the most. And Rashawn Gary falls into that category right now to me. I think he's the most obvious leader just because of his tenure and the level he's paid at. His performance is not that of somebody who should be a leader. No. What really annoyed me and was the whole approach of Rashawn Gary being unwilling to say, like, yeah, I need to play better. I need to step up. I need to make more impact on a game. A guy who hasn't had sack in 7 weeks.
Yeah.
A guy who's been largely
not had a TFL for 7 weeks.
Who's lost snaps to Kingsley and Igbari week by week. A guy who's not out there for 50% of the snaps. He has the I'm doing my job, or at least he thinks he is, even though I don't think he actually is, nor does I think many of the fan base.
Well, hold on. He might be doing it. He's not doing it well.
His job is to get sacks.
No, he's not doing it.
let's cut to the chase. The run-stopping stuff is all nice. If you get sacks, people really don't spend much time talking about your run-stuffing ability.
Hold on. Can we just... I want a quick timeout. We need to talk about the sacks part of this, because it's really bad. They didn't get one on Sunday in Denver, so they're still at 33 sacks on the season.
Yes.
Here are your leaders for the Packers this season. Have you looked at this yet? Because it is depressing.
Oh, I have. It's the top three guys. Two of them are on the IR, and the others are Rashawn Gary.
Micah Parsons, 12.5 sacks on the year. Rashawn Gary, 2.75, hasn't had a sack in 7 weeks. When he had 7.5 sacks, when he achieved 7.5 sacks, he was like top five in the league. He hasn't had one since.
Correct.
He hasn't had a sack since before Halloween.
Correct.
It's almost Christmas.
Uh-huh.
That's a bad thing.
Yes.
Number three is Devontae Wyatt with 4 sacks.
Uh-huh.
He's also on the IR, as you pointed out.
And Igbari with 2.5?
2.
Mm.
And then Walker, 1.5. Ennis, 1.5. McDuffie, 1. McKinney, 1. And then a bunch of halves.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. None of that surprises me whatsoever.
That's bad.
Uh-huh.
Bad.
Well, the thing that's happened and the thing that's pretty clear to me is offenses changed their approach when Micah Parsons was on the field.
Yeah.
And the guys who are lesser than Micah, which is just about everyone besides Myles Garrett in the NFL, those guys are going to struggle because the speed at which they get to the quarterback sort of prevents other people and the other guys on the line have to do cleanup. But if the ball's coming out in 2.5 seconds or earlier, as often as it has against the Packers, those guys just aren't going to win. They're going to have even less opportunity. There is nobody in the league who has had more pass rush snaps and converted less into quick pressures than Rashawn Gary.
You know, something that's kind of stuck with me, and it's probably because we at least until this week, we were playing it on a commercial for the Potawatomi Football Monday show with Greg Matzik and Gary Ellerson, which you masterfully filled in on this week. Nicely done.
You're welcome for my service.
Gary Ellerson, when the Packers traded for Micah Parsons, Greg asked him on the first show of the year, you know, who benefits the most from the Packers acquiring Micah Parsons? And he said the cornerbacks, the defensive backs benefit most because that's your weakest position, but they aren't going to have to work that long because you're getting after the quarterback so quickly. So to your point, if you're in coverage for 2.5-3 seconds, you're going to be a hell of a lot more effective than if the quarterback has 4 seconds to throw the football. And that's the concern now, is those spots that weren't as talented now also take a hit. Specifically cornerback, and you saw it, as you just alluded to, Joshy, at the beginning of the show. You saw it in the fourth quarter in Denver. Those cornerbacks were about as ineffective as they have been all year against Bo Nix. Bo Nix had his best passing day of his career in like a quarter and a half on Sunday. So that's what should worry you, is nobody's going to get pressure. Now, this Sunday, I actually feel probably the best about. Maybe, I mean, in Minnesota, obviously, you feel good about, but you feel pretty good about Sunday because they have to run play action with Caleb Williams. They have to get him out of the pocket because he's just not, Saturday. Thank you. He's not comfortable in the pocket, and he hasn't been. He's getting more comfortable. Williams is, but he kind of gets outside and rolls out, and he's a good improviser. Could be better, but he's solid at that, but he doesn't really stay on the spot a ton. So maybe you can manufacture some pressure that way. I don't know. But I do have some concerns going forward. Will, yes?
I have a thought. Maybe the Packers playing without Micah Parsons might benefit them, because
how?
This is the most Will sentence.
They're not going to force him outside the pocket as much, which is where he's his best.
I think
rush four. Just don't get by the offensive lineman. Keep him in the pocket.
I think we're going to see a lot more of the mush rush stuff. Not that we are super worried about Caleb gaining yards with his leg, which he's capable of, but he's not like a Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, the guys that can create a ton of yardage. I expect it to be Quay Walker and Edger and Cooper screaming towards Caleb Williams to keep him inside the pocket.
Yeah, and a different guy named Josh.
Wow.
Which we accused you of you being your burner, kind of just said the same thing. Linebacker spy for Caleb with Edron Cooper or Quay Walker. I think that's very possible.
Yeah, there's more ways to do it than just spying. I think there's ways to bring pressure and sort of force him right into where you would have guys waiting and ready. I expect Halfley to have all sorts of things. I don't imagine a lot of the interior pressure that we saw from Micah classically doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be the case, just because I don't think we're going to see much Quay and Edron Cooper, which they did a lot last year when they would do those disguised blitzes, which weren't actually blitzes. They still only ended up bringing four, but trying to confuse them. I think the answer is going to be keep Caleb in the pocket and make him uncomfortable and make him go through all his reads.
You have to sell out to the run again like you did a few weeks ago and just try to make Caleb Williams beat you. That's ultimately the game plan on Saturday. Got it right that time. Look. Joshy, you've given me a hard time for this all week, especially in the last 15 minutes. But like, I try to find angles to be optimistic. I just do. That's how I'm a fan, right? I'm a half glass full guy. I believe in my team. I believe in my coaching staff. Something that actually excites me about the challenge of not having Micah Parsons, I do have an answer for the rest of this season, is it's a big time challenge for Jeff Halfley. And I kind of like that he's going to have to get into his bag in terms of creativity, because I think you will agree with this. You really like Jeff Halfley as the defensive coordinator. You're really impressed with what he's done. And obviously it helps when you have a Micah Parsons, yes. But I think the challenge of not having a game wrecker for hopefully, seven games? That challenge is actually kind of exciting for me, for Jeff Halfley, who is a promising young coordinator in the league that is looking at head coaching jobs for the following season. If this defense falls apart, then, well, number one, I think he's back as defensive coordinator next year. But number two, okay, maybe we were wrong about him. But I don't think we are. And I think this is going to cause him to get super creative, find ways to manufacture pressure against opposing quarterbacks. And that's a guy who I like having on my side when it comes to that sort of challenge. Hunter, go ahead.
How bad does the defense need to be where he stays as the DC, but not so bad that you start to question it? Like, where does that tip?
Good question. I'm glad you asked it. We asked the similar of Adam Schefter, and he said there's nothing these last three games will change.
Yeah.
In terms of
the national view on him in terms of a future head coach? Yeah.
He's like one of the favorites in all of the NFL to land a head coaching job.
He's got
to
be, what, top three?
Yes. And Jesse presumptively the favorite to be the Giants head coach, which we can question the reporting on that or what that actually means. But it seems like his status is rock solid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think
it will probably come down to, does the right opportunity find him in one that he thinks is going to work? Because as we all know, the importance of where you actually land is more important than just the job.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. So I guess we are viewing this as the final games of Jeff Hafley.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think almost.
But to go back to my point, though, I'm curious if you feel similarly. I know you're not the most optimistic human being in the world, but.
What makes you say that?
No reason.
The last just a, 2 years of check. Working with you?
What?
It's just a gut check. I really don't know Josh all that well. Just a guess. You're not the most optimistic human being in the world. I probably am closer to the most optimistic human being in the world.
You call it optimistic. I call it delusional.
Agree to disagree. But my viewpoint on that is not insane, right? Like, if there is something to be excited / optimistic about, it's the fact that the guy that is facing this challenge is Jeff Hafley. I think that's a good thing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the guys that everybody in the NFL is like looking towards and is worried about when they're game planning against the Packers. I do think Sean Payton ate his lunch, but that's not going to happen every single week.
Yeah.
I do think a guy like Ben Johnson is capable of it. But I also am not going to hold him to such a standard where I'm going to be disappointed if the Packers give up 28 to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, the two most important players on the team are not on it.
Minus Love, yeah.
The defense. Yeah, it's Micah and Devontae Wyatt. Like, Xavier McKinney's awesome.
I mean,
Adrian Cooper's awesome. But those two and what the absence of them and the downgrade is massive.
Can I just throw this out there? I think three of the top four are not going to play on Saturday. I think Evan Williams has been that good.
I saw multi-week just a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
That's not great. I do think... Well, the problem is if you replace Evan Williams with Javon Bullard, which seems to be...
What do you do in the slot?
And that's Nate Hobbs time, baby. Luther Burden, have a day.
Yeah, there's some fair things to be concerned about on Saturday and really just going forward. That I think just given the Micah thing, and rightfully so, that has completely overshadowed the injury to Evan Williams. And I think that's really bad for this Packers defense.
The thing is,
such a good year for them.
I don't think... The downgrade is that big from him to Bullard in that strong safety position.
So that
but
I agree
with. Think the downgrade from Bullard to Hobbs is massive.
You got it.
Yeah.
I also think
Hobbs is better in the slot than he is on the outside.
So I agree with that, but I just don't think he's very good, period.
Yes. I mean, he's better than he's played.
What about the downgrade from Williams to Zane Anderson, if they were to go that route?
I mean, Zane's played well. It sort of feels kind of like smoke and mirrors with him.
Yeah.
There's also Ketan Oladapo, who last year, towards the end of the year, when asked to play, was like really good in the few snaps he got.
That's right. Yeah. What was that, the Minnesota game?
I think so. But he was like really good in that opportunity. We had never seen him do anything other than special teams.
Right. Well, same with Zane Anderson,
yeah.
Frankly.
I do think there's those... Because Jeff Hafley works with the secondary and he is the secondary coach, he knows exactly what every one of those guys do the best.
So,
except for Nate Hobbs when he tried to play him outside.
I have a couple of quick injury notes which we'll hit before we get to Jordan Love and survival versus Super Bowl mode. But you sent this. I have not seen this. I think this is what you thought I was referring to when I brought up Rashawn Gary earlier. So I'm reacting to this blind. I have no idea what this was, but this was something else Rashawn Gary said yesterday in the locker room with reporters.
Understanding, you know, guys need to step up, but the number one thing is he wants us to turn the page and continue to play ball and get wins.
Rashawn, up to this point, where would you say, or when you look back at your season, where do you think this season has gone for you, and where do you think there's areas improved on this final stretch for you?
Season been good, man. We've been winning. A lot of improvement from last year. And then we had the final stretch where, like I said, we got the pen and our paper. You know, big games coming. So that means a lot of big plays is able to be made and able to come.
Rashawn, obviously everyone wants to, it's not one person who replaces Micah. Everyone wants to elevate their games. How much responsibility do you take to kind of take that responsibility on without him out there?
Say that again?
Well, so you lose one of the best pass rushers in football. You've accomplished a lot during your time. How much more do you need to do, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I just got to be myself. You know, when guys thinking that they need to do more than what they've been doing, you start to strain, start to try to find plays that's not there. And throughout the season, man, I've been doing a great job of being effective, being myself. And I know if I keep playing at a high level, keep playing how I'm playing, the plays is going to come, and it's going to be right what the team needs.
How do you avoid doing that then when I'm sure you want your sack numbers to be up, right? I mean, you're a prideful guy. How do you avoid chasing stuff that maybe you shouldn't be chasing, that if that's what your mentality is?
Oh, man.
So good, dude.
Been doing what I've been doing, man. That's all 111. Like I've been saying every time we talk, as long as 111 is on the same page, we're going to be fine. But once again, man, if I do what I got to do, I'm a big part of this team, and we're going to be right where we need to be.
Rashawn, what came?
All right. A couple things from that. Oh, boy. All right. A couple things from that. Number one, I said it in the middle there.
Do you understand why I was so worked up?
Nicely done by Jason. It's a good thing I'm not in the locker room. I my face would give it away when I'm listening to that. Now, I'm going to give you a spin zone.
Okay, here we go.
I kind of like how delusional he is. I don't know that that's a bad thing of when you're playing his position. But I don't know that that's a bad thing. Okay,
this so is like, you.
But hold on. Shut up. We've always said this, right? Like, corners and receivers tend to be the most delusional, strangely wired individuals on a football field. Fair?
You're really going to try and spin something here, and it just doesn't work with Sean Carey.
I'm going to try. I'm not saying it works.
We could skip all that, and we could just say...
There's no self-awareness.
That's a guy who lacks the ability to say, yes, I'd like to play better. The right answer, even if you don't want to put it on yourself... is when you lose somebody as important as Micah Parsons, everybody has to take a step up. He is a one-of-one talent. He is the type of guy that can sort of tilt the field. So without him on the field, there's more on me. There's more on Xavier McKinney. There's more on Edger and Cooper. All of us need to step up and be better versions of ourselves because we are down one of the most important players. I gave a better answer there than Rashawn Gary did because he knows that everyone thinks he's sucked, and he knows he thinks he's doing great. And that's, to me, what it seems like.
Yeah, he did say once or twice, I've been playing great.
Yes. Yes, he did.
He has 0 sacks and 0 tackle for losses in his past 7 games.
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes. Yep. All of that's accurate.
But he's playing great. He's playing great.
Which makes me believe, who's not telling, is it DeMarcus Covington? Is it Jeff Hafley? Did he listen to Hafley's comments and then say, well, yeah, everyone thinks I'm great?
I think that might just be, and I'm not saying this is right, but I'm just trying to diagnose it. That might just be the mindset, the polluted mindset of an athlete. It's like, yeah, we like he said it in there, we've been winning games. They have been. They are 9-4-1.
Yeah. No thanks to you, Rashawn.
Not a huge part of it. Nope.
I mean, he's lost snaps to Kingsley and Igbari.
That's concerning.
Those are all signs of, like, you're not performing.
I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm having a really hard time, though.
If you're going to be optimistic, I would recommend doing it not in regards to...
I like my halfway take the best so far. My if there's a guy I want up to the challenge of you know, manufacturing some stuff...
I'm glad you like your own take.
Yeah. Well, that's the one piece of optimism I can, like, actually grip to and feel good about because you agree with me on it. The rest of it, you've been like, you're an idiot. None of what you just said is true, but I appreciate the fact you're trying a lot. That's kind of what you're giving me.
Yeah, you're good job, good effort.
It's also like the not least a good answer, stretch of a take. Like the guy that's getting head coaching looks. Yeah, I trust him with the defense. Like, yeah, thanks, pal. I did quickly.
No, I appreciate the fact that he's the one. Like, I think I trust half. So let's just. And I know it's not apples to apples. It's more apples to oranges. But I'm going to try to make the comparison so you kind of understand me.
I love when you undercut yourself before you deliver a take.
I do that a lot. But it's not because I was going to try to compare it to the offense. And like losing Tucker Kraft is not the equivalent of losing Rashawn. Or not Rashawn
the only Micah thing Parsons. Comparable is Jordan Love.
So I guess I'll try to use it. but it, again, it's just not apples to apples. But I would trust Halfley finding ways to succeed defensively without Micah Parsons more than I would trust LaFleur offensively without Love. But again, that's obvious because Love is more important than the ball's in his hands every play. So it's just hard to make an exact comparison, but you get what I'm saying. I think you understand the nature of my point, which is I probably trust Jeff Halfley in terms of creativity and finding ways in a short span of time, where he's got hopefully a month and a half of ball left. Yeah, so that's where I'm at. Sorry, Hunter, you were going to ask a question. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I thought we were going to transition into Love, and I was going to just have a quick fact check here. When you guys brought up Ketan Oladapo and a big game he had late in the year, it was in the loss to Chicago. He had 5 tackles, which was good for 3rd on the team in tackles that day. He did not show up in the box score against Minnesota. So.
So Chicago. Yeah. I knew it was one of the last 2 games, and they lost both of them. I just couldn't remember which one it was.
I just remember watching that game and going, huh.
Where'd he come from?
Yeah.
And actually, it makes a lot more sense it was the Chicago game because a lot of those starters came out. That actually
I think he might have also been forced into action in the previous game late.
And he may not have showed up on the box score. Yeah. Safety.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Correct.
So, yeah, okay, interesting. All right, yeah, let's transition over to Jordan Love, though, because I just simply want to ask this, Joshy. Let me rephrase. I'm going to say this. Tell me if you agree or disagree.
He hasn't even said anything, and he's rephrasing
he's
it already.
He's rephrasing what he hasn't
already
said
undercutting
yet.
It.
Well, I was going to frame it as a question. I'm not going to frame it as a question.
Statement.
This team only goes as far as Jordan Love takes him the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that applied even without, even with Micah Parsons and without some of the injuries we had seen. I think the team is where they are in most part because of Jordan Love. I do think his job gets more difficult and more of the weight falls onto his shoulders.
Definitely.
But I don't think that it's anything Jordan Love is incapable of or hasn't already been doing this season. It's just your defense might be giving up more points. I don't think it's going to be every single week. We saw what the Packers
The sad reality is the Packers offense has to be better, and they've been pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they're like one of the most efficient offenses in the NFL. They're like one of the leading scorers. Like they are towards the top in all the important stuff you look at.
And
that's
the part where I almost feel bad for them.
Right.
They have to be better.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be better. You have to be more, you probably have to be more consistent, and you probably have to be able to put teams away more. Letting teams back in and relying on your defense to hopefully get a stop. We've seen, I mean, Micah Parsons was responsible for what, 2 wins himself this season, sort of with the way he impacted the game and either closed it or caused the big turnover that swung the momentum in the game. That stuff's probably not going to be happening. So Jordan Love needs to be even better, even more efficient. I do think a lot of it also falls on Matt LaFleur. We can't have the bad play calling days from him because Jordan Love can only take what's happened in front of him so far. It's encouraging Christian Watson's back because I think Christian Watson is integral to doing what they want to do. And I think Josh Jacobs' health is then also extremely important because if you get a lead and being able to salt the clock away, run the ball, and get like consistent movement of the ball, that's going to be equally as important. Because what it looks like without Micah Parsons is we're a lot less confident in our defense to get a stop if he's not on the field. Mm-hmm. But to me, like asking a whole lot more from Jordan Love, like what does that even look like? I know it sounds good. I know it sounds right. And it sounds correct. But you need to go from a top 5 offense to a top 2 offense. And is that even a real expectation? Because at some point, there's only so much a quarterback can do. I mean, we saw it with Aaron Rodgers throughout points of his career. You're looking around and going, well, the guy's got no help.
Yeah.
He's throwing the ball to Alan Lazard. What do you want him to do? And I think there's degrees of difference in that. He cannot turn the ball over whatsoever. I think people are really glomming on to one of the more remarkable interceptions we've seen all year. And then a ball that Dontavian Wicks should have probably caught despite it being behind him. That stuff happens in the NFL all the time. It's just if it goes to the other team or not.
Yeah.
What you don't want is him to press and him to get overly aggressive and sort of play out of his mind and then create turnovers he shouldn't. But for the Packers to achieve their goals, he needs to be damn near perfect week in and week out. And I don't know if there's a guy in the NFL right now that is playing for something that I would say he's going to be absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I think I agree. I just wanted to think about it if there was any. Yeah, no.
The only guy I can think of recently is, Stafford's had some. He's not turned the ball over now.
He's only thrown like 5 interceptions, I thought, this year.
Yeah, well, he did two in one game and then also had a fumble. So it's like, and historically, he's been not the lowest.
Agreed. Historically, but this year he's been better.
Yes, he's been better at it.
Only 5, yeah.
But he did his best to keep the Seahawks in the game when they played last.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. What was it? Darnold threw, 4 interceptions in that game, and somehow they only won by, a field goal?
Correct.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, just to me, the Jordan Love stuff to me is, it doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers, so therefore it's not good enough, but not looking like Aaron Rodgers is almost every quarterback to ever live. So what that means and what you can actually take from that to me is not much. I think it feels right and it sounds right when you say it, even though we spent the year saying we can't compare him to Aaron Rodgers. That's unfair. As soon as he starts playing well, we immediately say, well, Aaron did this. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, is he Aaron or is he not? And is there great quarterback play that can be not Aaron Rodgers, but still absolutely amazing and one of the top 5 in the NFL? Yes. Yes, there is for that.
All right. Good point. I want to move on to this, though. And it starts with a question for Will. Will, what is a
Do you want to rephrase that?
Good pop. What is a pendulum?
So there's like the starting point up here if you're watching on YouTube, and then it's like swinging back and forth around the center or the middle. You've asked me this before, and I did a better job the first time.
It's pretty much have it.
Something swinging.
Yeah, it's like a weight.
Yeah.
It's suspended.
Yeah, it's like the thing on the desk where you
and
like,
then it just goes back and forth, back and forth. So it feels like the pendulum has swung from Super Bowl mode back to survival mode. Fair, Joshy? Feels like that's kind of where we're operating, at least for now, with 3 games remaining, survival mode. I'm curious, though, in your opinion, can anything happen either Saturday or the next 3 weeks of the regular season that I don't think we're getting all the way back to Super Bowl mode. Until they get like it's a I'll believe it when I see it type thing, Super Bowl mode. But is there a way the pendulum can swing somewhere back to the middle that gives you some faith entering the postseason where you go, okay, maybe. Is that winning the division? Is that getting the 2 seed? Is it winning out? Is it showing that the defense maybe doesn't look as awful against Chicago and Baltimore in back-to-back weeks? Is there something that could occur that makes you go, I still don't think there's a chance without Tucker Kraft? And I keep wanting to call him Rashawn Gary. I'd rather it be Rashawn Gary. I don't want anybody to get injured by any means, but I'd rather have Micah Parsons on the field. Without Tucker Kraft and Micah Parsons, I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl. I just don't. But is there something that they could do the next couple of weeks that makes you go, all right, maybe?
The only thing is winning the division and getting the 2 seed. Then you feel at least like it's attainable, and you never know what happens in the playoffs and the teams that you'll then be forced to play. But as low as I am about Micah Parsons being gone and the amount of injuries that happened, it's not that I thought the Packers are going to win 0 games the rest of the way and get their doors blown off every single week. It's that my expectation of a Super Bowl is not most likely not going to be met and becomes infinitely more difficult.
Yeah.
I think you need incredible play from your defense with the most incredible player missing. I think you need an incredible scheme and game plan week in and week out from Matt LaFleur, and you need nearly perfect quarterbacking from Jordan Love. And as much as I think all those things can happen individually, to win a Super Bowl, you need all 3 of those things to happen consecutively.
Yeah.
And every single week.
Totally agree. And I don't think it's going
to
happen.
No, frankly. I don't think that's even a fair expectation to put on any of the people I mentioned.
The only thing that I think you can still have a little bit of optimism with regarding the Packers and a potential Super Bowl run is the parity is so high this year. And there only seems to be like one true juggernaut in the NFC. And that would be the one seed. If you get the two seed, maybe somehow the Rams lose in the divisional round and then you have to beat, say, I don't know, Seattle.
I'd love an opportunity to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or Carolina Panthers again.
Yeah, me too.
I think even a mediocre defensive day is good enough to beat a team like the 49ers. Because their defense is very bad. They're giving up TDs all over the place to the damn Tennessee Titans. Like, that's a situation you want to be in.
Yeah.
But if you have to run into the Rams, the Lions, or the Seahawks, you're not going to like your chances.
Yeah, the Seahawks are an interesting one to me.
Yeah, I still don't really believe in Sam Darnold until he does
it. I don't either. Like, I think he'll give you a few.
Yeah.
While I do think they're going to
put up points. The Packers will let you give them a few and they won't.
Then they'll drop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. I saw the whole, before we get to Will and the Bears, did you see the whole, I don't want to call it conspiracy theory because it's true. The theory though online that like, damn it. If Xavier McKinney comes down with one of those interceptions, yeah, Micah doesn't tear his ACL. It's just,
I get they play defense, but you, like, how do you not catch any of those? And it was like that against the Giants too. They dropped like three or four interceptions.
Well, McKinney was second in the league last year in interceptions.
Yeah,
he's got zero this year. I think. Does he have one? Maybe
he might have one or two. I feel like one of them was just a total arm punt, and that happened like right after the conversation was, well, where are all the turnovers? And then he got one. But other than
he has two.
Yeah,
Williams with three, McKinney with two.
Was one like McDuffie one week one, or two? One. And then the next one was just a total arm punt.
Let's look.
I think it was against the Giants, maybe.
He's got one against Cleveland and one against Carolina. So both losses. McKinney only has interceptions and losses this year. That's
interesting. So you don't want him to get turnovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently not. Well, he almost had one last week, which was also a loss.
So you don't want a pass rush and you don't want any interceptions this week.
That's exactly what we're saying.
Yes.
Packers big braining their way to a win.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm giving you the recipe.
You've got no recipes. You ain't cooking. How's cooking been for you? You did ask us, and I don't know if I'm supposed to share this publicly. You did ask us if you could reheat cardboard.
It was a thing from Chipotle. Yeah, I asked if I could put it in the microwave. I'm always cautious about it at work.
You're afraid to set the workplace on fire?
I guess that would be pretty embarrassing if I started a fire in the kitchen.
I got to be honest, though. It's kind of amazing. At least I don't know of anybody. We have a lot of people that work here that nobody has put tin foil in the microwave.
I'm sure someone has.
Okay, but I'm unaware
just,
of.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't.
Why is tin foil flammable?
I don't know if you... No.
It's, no.
Really. Boy. Did you not know this?
I don't know. I don't really... I usually just put it on paper plate. So I don't have to worry about this.
Hey, don't put tinfoil in the microwave.
But a paper plate is much the same as metal.
It's not just tinfoil.
Yeah. But a paper plate is almost the same as the container you were using from Chipotle.
I'm just making sure.
I appreciate the fact he was cautious, actually. I'm not going to give him a hard time on that.
I don't.
Is this... Well, I was just going to say, is this maybe we beat Will down so much to the point where he's not confident in anything related to food?
He's got the culinary... Yes. He's got the culinary hips.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly it.
I don't know if you can have the yips if you never had it to begin with.
That's a fair point. All right, Will.
I hate my cooking.
Will, just want a few minutes with you on where the Bears are at. You can be disrespectful. You can be respectful however you want. It seems to me, and you can tell me, and again, you often say, I don't associate with the Bears fans on Twitter. but I don't believe that, number one. Number two, yeah. But it seems to me from an outside perspective, Bears fans are riding really high right now. Fair or unfair?
Yeah, no, definitely fair. I mean, if you think about like the past couple weeks they had, even the Packers loss, which I know you guys would make fun of. Like, I'm not saying it's a moral victory, but in a rivalry game where it's looked very ugly in the past, that looked very close this year. And like the past couple weeks before that, it was all like a big winning streak. So to win again this week in dominant fashion, which is a way that they haven't won a lot this year, the Bears being like playing bad teams close, like the Giants and the Raiders, to finally take care of a team. I would say the fan base is riding very high, and especially the week coming off of Packers' loss.
That sounds a little bit moral victory-y, but you're right. I mean,
Because I said it wasn't. 31-3 win
is impressive.
No. If you say it's not a moral victory.
Yeah, chat, clip that when I said that.
But that's the thing that kind of pisses me off about Bears fans, and not you. I'm not yelling at you.
But, like, can you not tell, like, this year's game, it was, like, a lot more competitive?
Yes, I can tell.
Like, yeah. the teams are much closer to being evenly matched.
The Bears lost.
Yeah, I know it lost.
You didn't lose. The Bears lost.
The Bears lost and it stunk. But, like, yeah, I walked away from that being like, these teams are closer than they've been in a long time.
Sure, I guess I kind of get that, but that's very loser talky. It just is.
No, because I said it wasn't. Again, you can't dock me for things. That's why I said
triple stamp
it. I put up a big wall, and you're just shooting at it. It's deflecting right back at you.
Force fields, things of that nature.
Sure. Yeah, the force, one could say, yeah.
But I agree. Like, the people that are like, oh, like, we're right there. Like, that is kind of loser talk.
Yeah, I mean, so we've been doing this and talking about Bears-Packers rivalry for a long time. I do think our content is more readily available, credit to all of us for making that so, but there is a level of bravado that I've never seen before
never,
in my time.
Never.
And there's a vitriol that never previously existed, and part of me thinks that it has a lot to do with, yes, they are better, but it also has a lot to do with everyone kind of knows it's not totally real and that they still have anything you say about Caleb is thought of as if you called him like names that are should never be said. And you said things about his family and about their family, but the way the attacks have been unleashed. And it's probably Drake May competing for an MVP and Caleb Williams very much not related, but it's gotten nasty.
Yeah, I agree. It's there's a level of vitriol that hasn't existed, despite the fact that obviously Bears fans hate the Packers and hate Packers fans because it's been domination for the better part of three decades. Mm-hmm. But I also just like, I get the sense, especially this week, more so than a couple weeks ago when that game was played at Lambeau, that Bears fans have already chalked this up as a W. It's just a matter of how much they'll win by.
That's where I'll disagree. And coming from the Packers with all the injuries, like, I throw all that out the window. Like, in this game, anything can happen. It happened last year with the blocked field goal when it looked like the Bears were going to win. And I know the Packers played a lot of their second stringers the second half of the second game, but the Bears still coming away with a win. Like, Cairo Santos with the most flimsy leg in the NFL kicking it through the wind.
You are not a Cairo Santos guy.
No, I hate Cairo Santos. But, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you have to throw out a lot of things for this game because it's the rivalry and it's always close and the improbable happens a good amount of the time. So I don't think like you can just easily chalk this up as a win.
I think we're applying rivalry week to a game that like rivalry standards to a game that has typically never been it.
Yeah, but it's I'm just it saying is that like now. The, I think it's fair
you step
it's
up graduated. A little bit. It's you step up.
It's graduated.
Would it shock you if either of these team won by two scores?
It would not shock me if the Packers won by two scores. It would shock me if the Bears did.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, Hunter.
I was just going to ask, do we think that part of the bravado coming from Chicago is given the level of dominance that both Favre and Rodgers had going back-to-back, and they think that they smell blood in the water with Jordan Love more,
yeah, oh yeah,
even
absolutely.
If it's just red food coloring, because I don't think it's actually blood. But do you think that's they're tricking themselves into thinking they finally have a real chance here?
Yes. We're both doing the thing, and of course I think we're more right of it, of your quarterback's not that good, so you guys aren't going to have as much success. I think all the numbers would tell you that the Packers side and Jordan Love's side is the right side to be on. Now, there's still certainly a lot of time for Caleb Williams to still develop. Josh Allen took about 3 years and then suddenly became way accurate and like a single-handed demon who can influence games. Caleb certainly has the raw physical talent to be that type of guy. It's just if he's going to then develop more into a better passer and a more consistent passer.
Well,
his completion percentage 58. Is abhorrent.
Yeah,
abhorrent.
There you go.
There it goes. Just got stuck in there. Got choked on it a little bit.
58% completion percentage. And he will be lucky to become the Bears' first 4,000-yard passer. He's 850 yards away, but he has not had a 300-yard game yet this season.
Yeah, it's just because his head coach is a very good play designer. They run a lot more plays than they used to, and their running game is the thrusting force.
He had a 60.7% completion percentage last week against Cleveland. That's the first time he's crossed the 60% threshold since before Halloween.
I mean, what is that? Remember when we were talking about Jordan Love's like 63%?
63-64, and we're like, that's got to go up.
Yeah.
It's got to go up.
Need to be closer to that 69-70-71.
And I believe he has been this year, but it may have gone down
last
week.
He's been much higher.
Let's look here. 66.5.
Also, actually, average depth of target matters a lot and can be influenced, and you can adjust by that. If you're throwing closer to the line of scrimmage, that number is going to go up. Things like there's play actions typically higher when it comes to completion percentage. All that stuff can factor in. But he misses in a way that you see bad quarterbacks miss.
Yeah. Love's quarterback rating has dropped the sixth best in the league.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was like number one, number two for most of the season. Stafford, Goff, May, Allen, Darnold, the five ahead of him now.
Malik Willis time?
Malik Willis does have a better quarterback rating this season, but he's also only thrown, what, like five passes?
Yeah, one drive.
I think his is at like 112. Sure, it's at Stafford level.
I'm sure there's a punter out there with a better quarterback rating.
Wisconsin punter?
He's
like one for 20 yards.
Remember,
like,
remember when he led the team in passing?
And a different game led them in rushing.
Sean West?
Yeah.
Sean West. Yeah. Yeah, he's back next year. I saw the other punter enter the portal.
Well, that was Vacos. Atticus Bertrams did also. I'm going to have to get rid of my punter from down under pin.
Oh, no.
Way to go, Luke, keeping talent in-house.
Yeah, I love that. That's a big one. That's a big get.
All right, he kept Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano in-house. So.
Yeah, that's actually a good feather in his cap.
Which one of those guys are going to play quarterback?
Another good point.
Have we looked at the kid who's looking for a seventh school, the Georgia State quarterback?
Oh, Finley?
I'm sure.
No.
Dude, yeah, I'm sure they're...
Can't go worse, right?
They're exhausting all options. I'm sure that's on the table.
If Twitter's to be believed with that, they have apparently had conversations with Colton Joseph. He's the quarterback from Old Dominion. He's got 2 years of eligibility, very highly sought after. Wouldn't be surprised if they call the guy from North Texas. I can't remember his last name, but he like led the country.
Mestemaker.
Yeah.
Drew Mestemaker. Isn't he more of like a spread guy? Like a
big spread guy.
Yeah.
6 wide, 5 wide.
Yeah, but I think like it's one of those. They're going to call every quarterback.
Yeah. He's the coolest story that nobody really talked about unless you're a big college football head.
He was a walk-on.
He didn't start in high school.
Oh, really?
And then he led the nation in passing and was extremely good.
That's pretty sweet.
I was an avid overbetter in North Texas games because of him.
You were big on North Texas this year.
Yeah.
Right, I watched a lot of North Texas because they were always on when Badger Volleyball was playing.
Can we get the one more Wednesday, please?
We don't need to.
I don't care.
We just keep talking about
I don't care that you broke your elbow, and I don't care about North Texas.
That is the third time that has come up in a conversation just randomly in my day today.
I said that a couple of days ago.
You did? You did. That's why I brought
references.
That. That was a callback, actually. Callback. All right, time now for One Word Wednesday. Hunter's got a list of topics that we missed this week. We will answer it with one word. As we play a little one-word Wednesday. Hunter, go ahead.
We're going to stay in the college football world as 11 years ago today, Paul Chryst was announced or introduced as the Badgers head coach.
Days. The good old days. Wish they would tell us when we were in them.
Ugh. I hate that. Is that a song?
It was an Office reference.
Yeah.
But it is a good song, though, by Kesha and Macklemore, I believe, yes.
I'm going to say better. It was better back then.
I wish somebody should have told me, babe.
What was his name?
Someday these will be the good old days.
Oh, Paul Chryst?
Yeah.
Miss.
You, as him?
Miss him.
Did you just ask what his name was, and then you said you missed him?
For some reason, I thought he said somebody with the last name Allen.
Anyway, moving on.
Huh?
The Knicks won the NBA Cup last night, 124-113 against the Spurs. What PG-rated thing would you do with your $500,000 prize for winning the NBA Cup?
So no,
PG.
Yes, this is a family-friendly program.
Victor's really trying to stop us from saying
strippers and cocaine.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's three words. 1, 2, 3. I think that's it.
Yeah. What would I do? I'd buy my parents a house. How about that?
Wow, that was sweet. What about yourself?
I imagine since I'm in the NBA, I probably have one already.
Oh, good point. Good point. PJ, taking a trip.
I'd buy Mr. Irrelevant.
What are you going to do with the other $400,000?
I'm buying an island. I don't know. I don't know if you can get one with $400,000, but
maybe in like Lake Superior.
The place we want to talk about.
That's a good point by you.
Yeah,
good point by you.
Last guy I knew.
Moving on, we're going to go back to college football. I saw this on Twitter, and I did fact check this, so I didn't get got. There have been 8 5-star quarterbacks between the class of 2024 and 2023. Arch Manning is the only one that is still at his original school he committed to.
Yeah. Makes sense. I don't know.
Royal.
Portal.
Portal, yeah. Transfer.
When you are a Manning, you get the best. Always the best. You don't have to shop yourself around. Grandpa makes the calls. Grandpa gets deals done. Grandpa makes sure you're living a good life.
Was his grandpa the one that made him opt out of the college football video game the first year it came out?
I would imagine there's a good bet. If you know anything about the Kardashian Jenner clan and how that mother/grandmother runs things, think of Arch Manning as much the same, but a guy who probably has a little more dangerous ties involved.
Whoa.
Remember when Peyton Manning sent what could be determined as not necessarily a hitman, but a thug of sorts, a guy to go and threaten somebody else who was reporting on the deer antler spray?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I believe that the person was believed to have, like, mafia ties, if I'm remembering correctly. It basically was sent there to threaten. Now, who do you think did that? Think the guy did that on his own?
I love Joshy conspiracy theory.
I mean, you can find it.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying, I love when you tell us about that. It's always entertaining.
Just had this come across. Shout out Ryan Wollersheim, producer of Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Came across his desk.
Yep, just came across my desk. J.J. Watt on the Pat McAfee show, quote, "I wanted to play for the Green Bay Packers when I was a free agent, and they were not interested. This was right before I signed with the Arizona Cardinals."
Unsurprising, however, I remember when we were covering this on ESPN Wisconsin, and we had like a whole Watt Watch thing going on. Yeah, yeah. And that was just, so apparently that was just never a thing, which, again, unsurprising.
Wisconsin.
good word, Will.
Sorry, I got lost in the deer antler HGH. Charlie Sly, the key source for the Al Jazeera documentary about Peyton Manning deer antler spray story. Somebody was sent to his house to threaten him.
All right, well.
Dark side linked Manning and other high-profile athletes to performance-enhancing drugs, specifically anyway, HGH.
Keep going.
Josh, with the Watt Watch, I think you were producing, you had been producing Scalzo and Brust back then.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the private jet to, like, Waukesha or something came out?
Yes.
I was in that day, and that was just incredibly stupid now looking back at it.
Yes. I mean, I fully believe. I saw what you guys are talking now. I'm back in. Yeah, obviously J.J. Watt wanted to be a Packer, hometown, all that stuff. And the Packers, back then even,
just did Packer
they
stuff.
They don't like overaged guys.
I love private plane watch.
It's the best.
You do until you don't.
No. You always do.
My favorite,
the best.
My favorite bit of JJ, other than the Fort Minor rapping on Hard Knocks and flipping tires and all that stuff, is the fact that that multi-million-dollar house and complex he built, and said it was like off in the woods, off in the middle of nowhere, all that, and it's like 10 minutes from a Starbucks. He made it seem like he was like deep in the North Woods, secluded away from everybody. It's like Milwaukee.
Yeah. Where you grew up.
Yep.
It's toughening himself up.
Like the nice suburb in which he grew up in.
One last one. We've got the Final Four tomorrow night, Wisconsin against Kentucky.
Yeah, unoriginal is the word. Wisconsin, Kentucky in the Final Four. Haven't we done this already? Other word is natty. Badgers are going to win the natty. They're going to win it. I'm pretty much all in on Badgers volleyball.
I don't have a take. Go Badgers.
Happy.
Collier.
Excited.
The one word I want to say is the one that someone said.
Layla Edwards.
Yeah. Was that her?
Yeah. Right? No, it was Carter Booth, right?
Yes. What? Carter Booth. Oh, yeah. Refused to lose.
Yeah.
What'd she say?
Refused to effing lose on national television. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
What's
the F word?
I'll tell you when you get older. When you can successfully bake a meal, I will tell you. Until then, you're just going to have to keep guessing.
I can live with that.
Amazing. All right, that's One Word Wednesday. It's time now for What We Missed, which is presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in Door County. Gins, rums, whiskeys, all the in-betweens, whatever you need to elevate your holiday experience. Visit their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Find a huge list of unique cocktail recipes, including Joshy festive recipes.
Ho, ho, ho. I told you guys we need the ho, ho, ho you guys got and then have not brought into the show. You and Will, make it happen.
No, I prefer to put you in that spot.
I'm not going to dance the way you want me to.
The issue is you've danced.
I did it one time because I was feeling the holiday spirit.
And if you're feeling the holiday spirit, you should check out the huge list of unique cocktail recipes and festive cocktail recipes on their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Find the retailer nearest you as well at their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com, wherever great booze is sold. All right, let's get to a couple things. First off, Will, how'd we do today?
Just words?
Yeah.
I didn't have any words. You guys, the vocabulary, either I'm getting smarter or you guys are getting dumber. I don't know which one.
Could you explain the mechanism of deer antler spray and why that was connected to human growth hormones?
It's okay if you don't want to.
Well, I could try. I know. Isn't there a story about... it's the deer pee, right? That Brett... the story of Brett Favre sprayed on Rodgers practice jersey.
Yes, okay. famously that use that when you are masking your scent.
All right, let's put this together. HGH is steroids.
Human growth hormone, yep.
Yeah, Mike Trout. Mike Trout deer antler. They used the spray to make the deer antlers grow so that when they hunted... Because isn't it like cool to get the bigger deer antlers or something like that?
That is true.
It's a bigger prize.
It determines oftentimes the maturity of said deer. They often grow larger.
So they use the spray to make it seem like they were hunting more prized animals than they actually were.
Yep, you nailed it.
That's it. That's it.
Actually?
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's it. You got it.
Can't believe it, but he did it.
He did it.
Hunter's sigh made me think I did.
When I say velvet, does that make sense?
Like the cake?
How do you go cake before the fabric?
Red velvet?
I think we should stop.
The velvet from deer antler spray is from deer antlers is harvested, and then it has an ingredient in it that has growth factors that include muscle growth and strength. It is a banned substance.
Okay.
So if you want to get jacked, Will.
Yeah, you should get some.
Deer antler spray.
This is me and the Liver King. This is what we do.
You should go to your little infrared sauna, Jim.
We eat bone marrow.
Yeah, okay. You do. Do you?
No.
Do you know what bone marrow is?
You don't got enough dog in you.
No, he says. The Tua era in Miami, is it over?
Yeah, duh. And I think the era of him being a starter quarterback is over unless someone has injuries.
No, Pittsburgh, the Jets.
He's not going to go north. Bet.
Arizona.
Want to bet?
You want to bet me whether or not he will be a starter week one of next year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd actually be willing to take that bet. I think he'll start next year.
Right. We'll figure out what we need to do on the bets, but I feel very confident.
Also, shout out Josh. The Knicks will not be hanging up their NBA Cup banner.
Wow. Good. Disrespectful.
Didn't the Bucks hang theirs?
Yeah.
The Lakers. The Lakers.
The Lakers, who, by the way, have won a million real championships, hung one. So the Knicks being above that is kind of funny.
Has anything fallen out? Has the bottom fallen out of anything faster than the NBA Cup? Remember last year, everyone was certain it mattered and it was really big and important.
Well, it's because the Bucks won it. And then we got the January or February, I think it was shortly after the All-Star break. I came on the air and I was like, has anybody mentioned it since? And the answer was no.
I'm in on it. The game last night kind of ruled.
It was a good game. Really Tyler good Kolek, game. How
yeah,
about
Tyler
him?
Tyler Kolek like single-handedly won them the game.
14-point game off
the
bench.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, a championship game of any sort is going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, once you get there, I think it's the layoff and the process in between it and the lack of activity and trying to figure out what exactly is going pool play, who's playing when, where, why. That stuff, to me, it's just still too difficult. It's still too involved.
I love it. All right, that will do it for us today. We're back with you Friday to give a final preview on Packers-Bears. Well, Will and I have a bet. We will discuss that on Friday.
I will not be here on Friday.
We will not discuss that on Friday because Will won't be here. He's pulling a Josh DiMaggio on Friday.
Josh insisted.
I rescind.
I swear to God, it's going to be 7 months before all four of us are on a Friday show. Josh is randomly off and never tells anybody.
It's the way I like to live, a little mystery. All right,
so me, Josh, Hunter with you on Friday. We'll make our NFL picks.
You can just make the bet without me. I agree.
Oh, that could be so
Hunter,
dangerous.
Do me a favor. Cut that.
Yep. Yeah.
Cut that.
Yep.
I think...
I don't care.
We will play that back on Friday.
I think we'll... has to wear a Packers jersey and then also do a big G face paint right in the center of his face.
I think that gets a little too close to Jim Mattinbolli with Jim Rutledge painting his face. I don't want to steal another show's content.
It's the second day in a row we've done that.
Yep.
Maybe on Friday we'll come up with something original.
Yeah, maybe. We'll try again on Friday. All right, appreciate the MIA hanging out with us on YouTube.
How about paint his chest and be on the
ESPN
show?
ESPN Milwaukee. Now we're on to something.
No.
ESPN Milwaukee,
go around
ESPN
the office
Madison on YouTube.
All day.
Tarps off.
Yeah.
And on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the ESPN Wisconsin app. We're back with you Friday beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts before our little sabbatical at the end of the year. All right, we will talk to you then. Will, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Can't wait to talk to you guys on a special Monday edition show.
Yeah, we're going to do a little...
I'm only coming on if the Bears win, though.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're coming on either way. We'll talk to you then. All right, goodbye. Peace.